Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Passion. If you look it up in the dictionary, it means intense emotion, anger, rage, hatred. We speak of crimes of passion. It can also mean intense love, zeal, ardor, desire. Originally, it meant suffering and death as a martyr, and so the Sunday of the Passion of our Lord. His martyr's suffering and death, his bearing witness to the Father's will to save in his own innocent suffering and death, his ardent desire and his zeal to save you. The day begins in triumph, as our day began in triumph. Hosannas and palm branches, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, humble and riding a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. It's kind of fun, isn't it? Everyone loves a parade and palm branches. By the way, don't leave them here or litter things. Take them home and slip them behind a cross in your house. That's the custom for Holy Week. The king is coming. Hosanna to the Son of David. The air was crackling with energy that day in Jerusalem. The crowd that greeted Jesus when he entered Jerusalem were ready for a scrap. In addition to palms, they were probably carrying weapons, swords and clubs as well. They were looking for holy war, and Jesus was their man to wage it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right off the pages of Psalm 118 and the Messianic Son of David. Go get him, Jesus. Did they have any idea how the week was going to play out? Would you have had any idea had you been in the crowd that day? Would you have imagined that within a few short days, less than a week, this king, greeted by such triumph and glory, would be betrayed by one of his own, would be tried and convicted by the religious and the civil courts, would be mocked, beaten, crucified between two criminals? Is this any way to wage a holy war? Is this any way to be king? Yes? Yes, it is. When the war is against your sin, when the war is against your death, when the war is with the law of God that condemns you, when the war is against the greatest enemy that our humanity has, death itself. This is how you do it. This is what Jesus is all about. He's more than a miracle worker. He's more than a religious teacher. He's more than a what would Jesus do moral example to follow. He is the king who fights on behalf of his subjects. He is the savior who rescues by dying for the sins of the people. He is the redeemer who buys back humanity not with gold and silver, that's what he was betrayed with, but with his holy precious blood and his passion, his innocent suffering and death. He is the lamb, the substitute, the whole burnt offering, the atoning sacrifice, the world's reconciliation and peace with God. And apart from him, there is no peace, no redemption, no reconciliation. The Passion history is the story of our Lord's passion to save you, his suffering and his death in love, in burning zeal and desire to rescue you from your sin and your grave. It begins with an anointing. A woman pours out her costly perfume on his head. It was worth almost a year's wages, 300 denarii. The anointed one is anointed by a sinner who prepares him for his burial. Remember back at Epiphany, Magi presented him with myrrh, perfume, and now here this woman, in a reckless act of devotion and worship, makes an offering never to be forgotten. Her worship is contrasted with Judas's treachery, right in the next paragraph. A disciple, one of Jesus' hand-picked, chosen 12, agrees to betray his master for a handful of change. Faith and unbelief, worship and betrayal, these always lie side by side, very close together. It's Thursday evening, and Jesus gathers with his disciple, not his family, not his mother and brothers and sisters, but with his disciples, his Israel, his 12, to celebrate the Passover. And he gives them something that was never given at a Passover before. He gives his body as Passover bread. And he takes a cup and he gives it to them, and he gives his own covenant blood, which would be shed for them, a cup of blessing. His death and his life is our food and our drink, with the promise that he will drink with us again in the kingdom of God, a foretaste of the feast to come. You have it too, here this morning. Same feast, same body, same blood. Jesus goes to Gethsemane to pray, a good place. Humanity fell in a garden, and now humanity's new head returns to the garden to pray. Not my will, but thy will be done. He prays it to his death. He prays as his disciples sleep. Even that sweet hour of prayer eludes them. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Only God in our flesh can save this flesh from hell. A young man flees naked. Odd detail. Most think this is John Mark, the author of the gospel, and that this is his own personal signature. He alone records it. An admission of weakness, of cowardice, a confession of his own denial, like Peter's threefold denial. Remember when Adam realized that he was naked and he felt ashamed and he tried to cover himself? But Mark does not try to cover himself. He does not try to cover up his sin. He simply confesses it. He was a coward and he ran away. The next time we hear of Mark, he's clothed and faithful. Mark is a reminder to all of us that there is no safe distance from which to follow Jesus. You're going to get caught if you're one of his. You're going to get caught. You cannot sit in the bleachers or in the back rows and hope that they won't notice you. Jesus is betrayed with a kiss from one of his own. He's ever the rejected king, not the king whom everybody lauds and honors, but the king that nobody wants. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. The Prince of Peace is arrested as though he were a terrorist, and he's led away in chains. He's tried and convicted of blasphemy by the Sanhedrin, the religious court that was supposed to deal in the truth. Religion considers Jesus to be a blasphemer, even today, and it will either try to redefine him or push him out of the way. Jesus is a big obstacle to everyone who wants to approach God on their own terms, who wishes to earn God's favor by their works. He's falsely convicted and sentenced to death by a Roman government that prided itself on justice. Not for justice's sake was he convicted, but for expediency's sake, lest there be a riot. But God in his mercy and God in his eternal plan takes man's injustice and he works our justification. He does justice to our sin in this act of injustice. Jesus is clothed in robes of royal purple, the only time he ever wore such robes. He's crowned with thorns, the only time he ever wore a crown. Spit at, mocked, beaten. These are the blows of humanity inflicted against one another and against God. He is the victim, absorbing every act of genocide, of religious and political terrorism, of man's inhumanity against man. And yet this lamb goes willingly, he goes purposefully, he goes intentionally to his suffering and death. This is his passion to save you. An out-of-town pilgrim, a visitor, Simon from Cyrene, is sucked into the vortex, and he's forced to carry this cross of Jesus. He was known to the church. He's the father of Alexander and Rufus. perhaps, and the reason this is recorded here, perhaps joined with Jesus in this moment with the cross, he became a believer himself, side by side with Jesus. And he is a picture of us in our baptism, joined with Jesus in his death, joined with him on his cross. Jesus is crucified. The details are quick. More of a rough sketch than a detailed photograph. Mark spares us the gory details and our imaginations wanting to figure out exactly what happened. He notes the time and the place, 9 a.m. at Golgotha, the hill that was known as the Skull from the way it looked. This is a matter of history. It has a time and a place. And the whole world's history hinges on this one event. This is the pivot point of all of history. Jesus is crucified between two thieves, the innocent one among the guilty, bearing our sin, becoming our sin. Barabbas the murderer was set free because of Jesus. Jesus went to his death as though he were a criminal. The people passing by mock him, even as they unwittingly proclaim the truth. He is the Christ. He is the King of Israel. He refuses to save himself. Jesus cries out in abandonment, my God, why have you forsaken me? He does it in his mother tongue in Aramaic from a psalm that he remembered long ago, taught to him by his mother, his father Joseph, taught by the rabbis. He cries out for all of us in our time of abandonment and need, when God seems so distant, so far away, so absent, when we pray and it seems as if nobody's listening. And there's nothing but silence in return to our questions about why. Why does God permit this? Why does God allow such suffering in the world? And here in the darkness on the cross, God answers that question with stony silence and his son hanging dead on the wood. That's his answer. That's his answer. Jesus drinks the sour wine, the bitter cup of our grief and woe, and he shouts out a last cry. Not a whimper, he shouts. He cries out in victory and death, and then he dies in the darkness. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's call it Good Friday, shall we? A very good Friday, for a very good reason. In the liturgy of Good Friday coming up, you are going to hear this sentence, and I'm going to prepare your ears for it here. The sentence says this: We adore you, O Lord, and we praise and we glorify your holy resurrection, for behold, by the wood of your cross, joy has come into all the world. By the wood of your cross, joy has come into all the world. This is the passion of our Lord to save the world, the cosmos, the created universe, to save you personally. This is the passion of our Lord, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be held on to, but he made himself nothing, and he took on himself the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, born into our humanity, our flesh and blood, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so today we honor this king, rejected and despised, crucified, and yes, risen. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.